Lord, while the words I speak are my words, may the words that we hear be your words. Amen. On Friday night, I went to St. Paul's Church for a service of unity. A service that was taking place on the eve of the demonstrations at the Robert E. Lee Monument the next day. All the traditions were represented there. And they all emphasized common values, the basic dignity of human beings, the importance of being loving to each other, justice, trying to build a world where everyone has a place at the table. It put me in mind of the mission of the church as it's defined in the Book of Common Prayer. The mission of the Episcopal Church is to restore all people to unity with God and each other in Christ. And I understand that to mean that the mission of the church is not to make us more religious. The mission of the church is to make the world better. And so to be there with people of different traditions to affirm that sense of common value was important on the eve of what lay ahead. I also have to confess that at that service there was a growing sense of apprehension about what might happen tomorrow. I had a sense of resentment for people coming from outside of Richmond to take advantage of what in many ways is a local issue that we should deal with by ourselves. And of course, I'm particularly fearful about people who come from the far right or the far left who want to use an occasion like this for their own purposes, create violence and mayhem, and divide us as a society into more and more camps and camps that are further and further apart. I had an attitude. Here I was trying to get my act together, affirming common values, and I had this growing sense of resentment. Of course, the good news is that basically the event at the Robert E. Lee Monument turned out to be a non-event. Yes, there were some incidental things, but hey, in the context of Charlottesville, the perspective of Charlottesville, this was wonderful. And perhaps thinking about Charlottesville made us prepare better. But of course, those issues will go on. Further discussion, and we need to resolve our own issues here among ourselves and not be subject to the forces, in some cases, evil and hatred and violence that are far apart from us. Although that same potential exists in our own hearts. So reconciliation is the mission of the church. And we come to this gospel this morning. This gospel which is about forgiveness. And forgiveness is one of the key values in enabling the mission of the church to go forward. Given all the separation and difficulty we have personally and in the world, without forgiveness, how can we ever achieve the mission of the church to build that better world? Now, the gospel starts out with a question that Peter asked Jesus. How many times should I forgive? Seven times? Seems like a lot, doesn't it? And the response is, not seven times, but 77 times. Wow! The grace of God abounds. It also affirms that it's not a one-and-done deal, that forgiveness is an ongoing process, and it's not over until it's over. But then the gospel goes on with this parable, which is really at the heart of the issue and why forgiveness, I believe, is so hard for us. The parable of this slave that comes to his master, the master is holding him accountable for what he owes him, and the slave can't pay him, and he throws himself on the master's mercy. And the master, listening to the slave, forgives him. But then, the slave goes to a fellow slave who owes him 100 denarii, and he insists on the payment and will not forgive him and throws him into prison. I guess the good news is there is justice in the story, because the fellow slaves tell the master, and the master holds the first slave accountable for the fact that he doesn't treat his other slave the way the master had treated him. He had given him forgiveness, but he won't forgive his fellow slave. The problem with forgiveness is this perversity that exists in our own spirits. We can't get it right. Unfortunately, that's the deal with being a human being. We cannot get it right. We are broken people. And one of our fundamental problems is so often we don't recognize that. But it begins there. The sin is my sin, the perversity in my spirit. Paul's statement, the good that I would do, I do not. The evil I wouldn't do, I do. There is that perversity that keeps me from holding myself to the same standards that I hold other people. So when it comes to forgiveness, that's where it begins. The goal is to forgive from your heart. But the process of forgiveness begins in confessing our own sin. That's one of the great things about worship in our church, that every time we come together, we confess our sin. And hopefully we experience the grace of God. We experience that forgiveness. Because in our brokenness, we need that forgiveness, because that's the key then in turn to extending that forgiveness to other people. Feeling that grace of God, God's arms around us, loving us in spite of ourselves, in spite of what we do. We have value, 77 times value, in the eyes of God. No matter what we do, we are embraced by that loving, forgiving spirit. The hope is that as we sense that forgiveness, that we can pass it on, that we in fact can be more forgiving, more open to those opportunities where we can bring a word of blessing and grace, where we can have the courage to step into those relationships where we disagree or where we feel inadequate, and open ourselves and let the spirit of forgiveness work. In terms of the mission of the church, in the light of this gospel, that's how the kingdom of God gets built. We sense God's forgiving spirit. We, in turn, can be more forgiving in the relationships where we perceive brokenness and pain. And gradually, one person at a time, one event at a time, the kingdom of God becomes a larger reality. Some of the deep divisions that divide us become smaller. we realize that we have much more in common than we are different. And in affirming that commonality, we can build the kingdom of God. May God's grace help us to do that.